Vous êtes à l'écoute Radio North Sea International, émettant du bateau radio Mebo 2 à l'ancre dans la mer du Nord. Nos émissions mondiales vous parviennent dans la bande 49 mètres, 6205 kilocycles pour l'Europe, et dans la bande 31 mètres, 9935 kilocycles pour le monde entier. Notre adresse est la suivante, Radio North Sea International, boîte postale 113, CH 8047 Zurich, en Suisse.
With offices based in Zurich, Switzerland, and broadcasting to the entire world from the motor vessel Mebo 2, anchored in international waters off the Dutch coast, this is Radio North Sea International. Good afternoon, good evening, or good night, wherever you may be listening in the worldwide Radio North Sea listening land. Yes, once again it's time for our monthly magazine, North Sea Goes DX, a special program for our faithful listeners, DXers, SWLers, and offshore radio enthusiasts. The program is produced and presented by yours truly, A.J. Behrens. To start with, this time we highlight reception of a few South American stations in the 60-meter band, which, as you know, is one of the so-called tropical broadcasting bands. Reception of the usually weak-powered South American radio stations over here in Europe is quite often very satisfying during nighttime and early morning hours, when the path the radio waves follow between transmitter and reception station is in complete darkness. A station which can be picked up with quite good results at the end of the night, although it merely transmits with 10 kilowatts of power, is YVOC Ecos del Torbes, broadcasting around the clock on 4,980 kilocycles, 4980 kilocycles, that is 60.25 meters, from San Cristobal in Venezuela. Around 0500 GMT, station identification is given in English, French and Spanish. The programs consist of South American and English pop music, commercial spots and news flashes called La Noticia del Momento. In fact, this station is one of my Latin American favorites. Until close down at 0500 GMT, fair reception is being reported of the 5 kilowatt transmitter HRVC La Voz Evangelica de Honduras from Tegucigalpa, Honduras. broadcasting on 4,820 kilocycles, 4820 kilocycles, that is 62.24 meters. The programs are religious. An English program is broadcast daily from 0400 GMT to 0500 GMT. When reporting, include two international reply coupons, which will ensure quick airmail QSLing. And should there be stamp enthusiasts listening, don't forget to ask the station for the beautiful Viaje a la Luna stamp. Another quick QSLer is Radio Nacional in Colombia, with transmissions via the 50 kilowatt station HJCQ on 4,955 kilocycles, 4,955 kilocycles, that is 60.54 meters. These broadcasts can be received in Europe at night time until close down at 0500 GMT. Somewhat more difficult to receive, and therefore a real DX gem, is a 2.5 kilowatt station HJAF, Radio Santa Fe, equally in Colombia. This station is on the air continuously on 4,965 kilocycles, 4,965 kilocycles, that is 60.42 meters. Should you decide to brush up your Spanish by going station hunting in the 60-meter band, I sure wish you the very best of luck. Now, a short message in Dutch which will interest our DXers in the Netherlands and Belgium. De puntjes op de X. Het speciaal voor de DX'ers en korte golfluisteraars uitgezonden programma in de Nederlandse dienst van Radio RSA, dat is de buitenlandse dienst van de Zuid-Afrikaanse Uitzijcorporatie, en wat gepresenteerd wordt door de heer Chris Uitzinger, komt nu wekelijks op dinsdag op antenne van 17.20 GMT tot 17.31 GMT, dat is 18.20 tot 18.31 Beneluxtijd. Dat betekent dus een tijdswijziging en een verlenging van het programma met 4 minuten bij vorig jaar. De uitzendingen zijn momenteel te beluisteren op 21.480 kilocycles in de 13 meter band en op 15.175 kilocycles in de 19 meter band. Attention has been caught by a peculiar article in the club paper of the Benelux DX Club. It reads as follows. Radio Canada's Shortwave Club has in its Saturday DX program suggested that all DXers write the Nobel Prize Committee in order to suggest that Edward Starts, ex-Happy Station, should be nominated a candidate for the Nobel Prize. Yours truly thinks that this is a very worthwhile suggestion, and if you too have been a member of Edward Start's Happy Station family, I'm sure you will write to the Norwegian Parliament in support of the possible nomination of this radio pioneer. Thank you. And after the next piece of music, we are going to have something special for our worldwide audience. Over the past few years, the saga of offshore radio has spread over the United Kingdom and Western Europe and even beyond. Radio North Sea International, the first offshore radio station ever to have a worldwide audience, is now producing a series of 5-minute programs in which we will bring the history of offshore radio to our listeners all over the world. In the months to come, you will hear familiar sounds like these. Yes, all these and many more, and we hope you will like it. Other states throughout the world, most European countries merely provide state-monopolized or at least state-controlled non-commercial radio. We think of the Scandinavian countries, the United Kingdom, the Netherlands and Belgium, to name but a few. It is in those Scandinavian countries that our story begins. In 1958, 2 years before the start of Radio Veronica, 6 years before Caroline, the first ship-based offshore commercial radio station, Danish Radio Merkur, came on the air from the ship Lucky Star, which was anchored in the Sound of Malmö. That position guaranteed clear reception in the Danish capital, Copenhagen. It proved that apart from large areas in Denmark, also, in the south of Sweden, reception of this station was very good. And that was the main reason why in 1959, Swedish Mrs. Britt Wadner started to buy 3 hours airtime daily to broadcast Swedish commercial programs from this station. Radio Merkur's Danish and Swedish programs became enormously popular, and soon the Lucky Star became too small for the station. The ship was taken over by an organization called Danish Commercial Radio, but this station closed down some 5 months after starting the new project. In the meantime, Radio Merkur was continuing its programs on board a larger ship called Schiete 2. In January 1962, in view of the upcoming Danish legislation against offshore radio stations, Mrs. Britt Wadner started with her Swedish pirate Radio Syd, spells S-Y-D, this means Radio South, from the ship Cheetah 1, anchored off the south coast of Sweden. The broadcasts of Radio Syd were on VHF only. Around that time, there was already a station off Stockholm called Radio Nord. On July 31st, 1962, at 2400 hours, Radio Merkur had to close down because of the Danish anti-pirate law which came into effect. Shortly after that, Also, the Swedish Parliament passed a similar anti-pirate law, and Radio Nord stopped its transmissions. But Mrs. Wadner did not give in. Radio Sud stayed on the air. Mrs. Wadner herself, on the other hand, was repeatedly jailed by the Swedish authorities. The Swedish law, however, also stipulates that a prisoner is to be enabled to carry out his or her profession. And so, Mrs. Wadner's prison cell was turned into a genuine studio. Radio Sud announced its programs as a direct relay from our studio in the Hinsberg prison. This attracted even more listeners and advertisers. Winds and a furious sea damaged the Cheeto 1, which set sail to the harbor of Malmö in an attempt to bring the station into safety. But the ship sank inside the harbor. After Radio Mercure had closed down, Mrs. Britt Wadner had bought the Cheeto 2, and that enabled her to bring Radio Sud back on the air shortly after the misfortune with her first ship. At first, Mrs. Wadner had intended to start television programs from that ship. But water and winds decided differently. The Swedish authorities then secretly decided to jam the FM broadcast of Radio Sud. But Mrs. Wadner had been informed, and the morning on which the jamming was due to start, Radio Sud was on the air on a different frequency, and the authorities gave up the jamming project. In the middle of December 1965, Radio Sud closed down, because of the large amounts of pack ice which were forecast. It was Mrs. Wadner's intention to go back on the air in the spring of 1966, but all did not quite work out that way, as you will hear when we are discussing Radio Caroline South. We have come to the end of yet another Norsi Goes DX programs, but before going, I would like to say the following. We at Radio Norsi International, and I for one, would enormously appreciate your comments on this program and on the reception of our transmissions in your part of the world. Please drop a line to Norsi Goes DX, Radio Norsi International, P.O. Box 113, that is 8047 Zurich in Switzerland. Until the next Norsi Goes DX program, this is yours truly, A.J. Behrens, thanking you for tuning in, thanking Isaac de Kramer for his technical assistance, and wishing the world good and happy listening. Cheerio!